Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, November 10th, 2011. Well, there's a host of arts-related events taking place in the near future, and here's just a few of them. The first round deadline for entries in this year's Canadian Christian Writing Awards is Tuesday, November 15th. A few years ago, the Word Guild, which sponsors the awards, brought in a two-stage deadline system with the first round deadline set for work published during the first 9 months of the year, which is January through September. If you're a writer and want to enter the competition, check out the full list of categories, submission guidelines, and the online entry form at www.CanadianChristianWritingAwards.com. The upcoming Overture of Hope concert will feature both Steve Bell's symphony sessions in concert with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra and the public unveiling of the fledgling Hope Exchange organization. Quote, "It's an inspirational event tweaked to focus on the theme of Hope Exchange," says founder and executive director Tim Huff in an interview with Christian Week. The award-winning author and poverty activist will take part in the event, reading sections from his newest book, Dancing with Dynamite, Celebrating Against the Odds. The evening will also feature a special performance by Rebecca Beignet of the Larch Spirit Movers. For more information or tickets, contact www.hopeexchange.ca. And local jazz violinist Trevor Dick, whose song Ayali is used as the theme for Arts Connection, will be backing up Robin Mark at this year's Promise Keepers Canada Conference in Mississauga in a couple of weeks. Trevor was part of a tour with Robin Mark and Amanda Falk about a year ago, and is talking to Trevor on the weekend, and he's excited to with the chance to play with Robin again, but more importantly, to be part of Promise Keepers Canada's ministry to men that weekend. Well, if you have any news you'd like to share, drop me a line at robert@selawministries.ca. That's robert@selawministries.ca. Keep listening, and I'll repeat the email address at the end of today's show. For this, the title track from Carrie Gousset's newest CD, which she'll be premiering at a CD release party this coming Saturday. Carrie Gousset has become a fixture in the local Christian music scene. Currently the Director of Worship and Arts at Bethany Evangelical Missionary Church, Created for This is Carrie's third CD. She's with us tonight to talk about her music, ministry, and the CD launch. Good evening, Carrie.
Hi, Robert.
How are you doing?
Great, thanks. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Now, let's go back back to when you were younger than that. When did you begin singing?
I don't remember not singing. I'm told by my mom and some other family members that I sang my very first solo at 15 months of age.
Wow.
Excuse me. Yeah. At my grandmother's church, I'm told that I sang Away in the Manger When I was just a little tiny girl.
I bet you that was at Christmas, right?
Yes, it was. So I turned one that September, and then the following Christmas sang my first solo. So obviously I don't remember that, but I don't remember ever not singing. I was always singing. By about 3 or 4 years of age, in the church that I grew up in Waterloo, I would sing, you know, kind of special music on Sunday, sometimes a duet with my mom. And the church was so large that they would have me stand on one of the pastor's chairs on the platform so that everyone could see me. And I always remember singing in the church.
So what in terms of the history of your singing and that, what type of stuff were you singing? Was it just church stuff, or were you always just looking for songs that you were able to sing?
Publicly, it was church stuff. You know, I would sing other little things around the house, of course. You know, stuff from musicals. I was always drawn to that. Of course, when Annie came out, I was 9 or 10, and I would sing all the songs from Annie. When I got to high school, I sang, was really sort of introduced to the jazz world, sang in the jazz choir at high school, and loved and still love a lot of jazz music. I've always kind of said if I wasn't singing only Christian music and Christian songs, I would likely be singing a lot of jazz.
So who have been your influences over the years then?
Oh, well, my mom, first of all. I think that's what started it when I was a very young girl. And then when I was starting to come into my own, when I was 9, 10, 11, 12, Amy Grant was the thing for me. And I really learned by mimicking. So I would sing all of Amy Grant's songs like Amy Grant. And then when I was about 12 or 13, I discovered Sandy Patty. And mm-hmm. that, you know, some people kind of snicker, but that really changed my singing. It changed my range. It changed my voice. It changed because I would just mimic Sandy Patty, and that's when I found my range and found kind of my voice. And so she was sort of my vocal teacher through my teenage years.
Well, you have two very different singers. I mean, Amy Grant was very much more pop mm-hmm. influenced, and her style was much more pop than Sandy Patty. You had very much more of a formal operatic mm-hmm. training. I mean, you think of Via Dolorosa and some of her standards
right.
and that. It's a much broader sound than you might get.
Right, which I think it has been helpful to me, like through the years and even till now, to appreciate a broader range and to find songs that were not always pigeonholed to one area. But I do think in my Sandy Patty years and finding her and as she was my vocal coach per se, that really helped me to find my range and my a lot of my the way I sing and the way I form my words is really just from mimicking her.
Well, one of the things I find that happens with writers is writers will often start mimicking and writing like one of their favorite writers until they get to the point where they develop their own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like you were going through something similar. When did you sort of discover your own voice, your own style, you know, the Carrie Goose style?
I was probably in my 20s before I kind of started breaking away and losing all those, not that you lose your influences, but losing, you know, exact replication
mm-hmm.
and started making the songs my own. And that's when I found that, you know, that I wouldn't sing it exactly the way it was on the demo track of the accompaniment, you know, that I was singing. And I would just start to kind of variate and move away from that. And I was probably in my 20s. You know, when that first started to come. And so even now I can hear a Sandy Patty song or a Mandisa song or, you know, and any other great Christian woman artist, love the song, but I won't likely sing it exactly like they do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably sing it like Carrie.
Yeah. Now, in looking at all that, when did you decide that you were going to pursue music as a career?
Well, I think that was decided for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a God thing, and it was birthed in me, again, as long as I can think and know and remember. I don't think it was something I ever really decided. It was just something in me, in my spirit, that I always knew would happen.
And what have been some of the challenges you've had along the way as you've been trying to develop that?
Well, living in Canada, not that that's a challenge because I love it. I wouldn't live anywhere else. But it's a challenge if you want to do this full time. I'm sure you've spoken about this on other shows that you've had. But the Canadian music industry, and specifically the Christian music industry, is very challenging. Mm-hmm. We don't have nearly the radio presence as they do, and I'm just comparing it to the United States, but nearly the radio presence, you know, the people, it's very, very difficult if you want to do this for, you know, a full-time thing. Well, so,
and even in terms of touring and getting out, and I mean, one of the things that really helps and promotes artists is getting out in front of audiences,
right,
getting them to know who you are, getting them to develop a fan base,
right,
in essence. And it's hard in Canada. I mean, in Ontario, it's a little easier because you've got, you know, in Kitchener and Waterloo, I mean, you can get into Toronto. You know, within a 2 or 3 hour drive, you've got a number of places that you can reach out into.
Right.
But once you get beyond that, I mean, I remember back working with guys in Alberta, and, you know, you had Edmonton and Calgary and a 4 hour drive between the two cities.
Right, exactly.
And that, well, how have you sort of overcome those challenges?
Well, the challenge right now, I just want to add to that, is that churches are straying away really from the typical Sunday morning special music. And when I was doing this pretty much on a full-time basis, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I was singing probably 3 out of 4 weeks in a month at a different church. But now, really, churches have strayed away from that and are using their own people more, which is fantastic. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's a great thing. Being a local church leader, I think that's a great thing to use your own people. But it's a challenge for an artist trying to come in and be in other local churches expressing their talent. So that's a challenge. But, you know, I always, because I felt that this was a God thing for me and this was God's calling on me, I always really never felt that it was my doing. And I just feel that the Lord always opened the doors. And, you know, when I was on maternity leave at some point with a baby, I would just pray and say, Lord, you know that for this next year, I'm on maternity leave and I have all the time in the world to be going out to other churches. And the phone would just start ringing. People would start calling. Can you come this Sunday? Can you come this Sunday? And then when I would go back to work and knew that I couldn't be available on a Sunday morning to go to another church, I would say, Lord, you know, now it's going to have to be Friday night banquets or Saturday night or Thursday morning coffee hours or seniors meetings or things like that. And that's exactly what would happen. So I've never really done any self-promotion. I just have always felt that this is God's thing, mm-hmm. and he's going to do with it what he will.
Well, you mentioned that you're a church leader, a local church leader as well. You've been the director of worship and arts at Bethany. What led you to that specific type of ministry?
Well, it actually started before Bethany. The church that I grew up at, Kitchener Gospel Temple here in town, needed a choir director, and I was about 22, and they said, Carrie, you can do it, and that's kind of what I did, and but believed, again, that this was just God saying, you know, we're going to stretch you here a little bit. And I had led worship, you know, in our youth group, and Robert, you and I, before this show, we were talking about, you know, the launch of the Christian contemporary music scene back in the 80s, and we were both there and we remember it. And
we just aged ourselves to realize
know,
that.
I know, but we sound so young. But I tell people that I led worship before it was cool. It's sort of a big marketing thing now, and mm-hmm. It's really kind of a cool thing to be leading worship, which isn't such a bad thing because, I mean, it's neat that that leading worship is a great thing and people want to do it. But I led worship back in my youth group before it was really cool. I mean, you know, with those old 80s songs that we can recall. And so it just kind of led and grew from there. And mm-hmm. then I began to direct the choir, and then was eventually hired on at the church, at Kitchener Gospel Temple, where I grew up at. And so I was kind of one of their own and raised me up there. And I was the worship and arts pastor at that church. And then God called us about 5 years ago to go to Bethany. So again, it's just really been a God thing. I just keep going back to that. But it's really nothing I have done. It's just God opening the doors and me walking through them.
Well, what I need to do is I need to take a quick break. And when I come back, we're going to continue our interview with Carrie Guse. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to the song All to Bring You Glory from the new Created for This CD by Carrie Guse. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Carrie about the CD and the upcoming launch. But just before we get into that, something you had mentioned just as we were talking previously was the whole thing about worship and worship, not, you know, you doing worship before worship became cool. How has the church's attitude towards the whole aspect of worship and the arts changed in the years that you've been doing this?
Well, I like the fact that you said worship and the arts, because it used to be that everyone assumed when you mentioned worship, it meant music. And when we talk about the worship service, typically on a Sunday morning, you know, for that hour and a half that you're together as a church body, people assume that that means the worship part, the music part of the worship service. And it's so much more than that. You know, we've heard the cliche saying that worship is a lifestyle, but it really, really is. Yeah. Worship is so much more than just the music that you sing. Worship is your attitude. Worship is it encompasses so many more things. And I just love now that the church is opening up to that and understanding, we as the church, the body of believers, is beginning to understand that God has given people many, many giftings and many, many talents, and we can use them as worship to the Lord. So, I hope some of your viewers have seen this, because it's a beautiful thing to see someone paint a picture during the music time or during the message time of a service. Just, it's God revealing to them what he is speaking to them and them portraying it. It's like someone writing a song or someone, but you know, you've seen someone paint a picture or sculpt, or it's just such a really beautiful thing. It's to see God work through them in that way. And there's just so much more to worship than just the music.
Yeah. And I think Bethany has a great example of the combination of worship and art in their annual Christmas pageant. Mm. I mean, because you've got music, you've got acting, you've got even the people that do the costumes. I mean, yeah. There's an element of worship. If you
Absolutely.
Go back into Scripture, they talk about the people who sewed the curtains and the garments mm-hmm. for the temple. So,
absolutely.
I'd love to pursue this, but we need to get on to a couple other things.
Sure.
One of which is your CD created for this.
Mm-hmm.
6 years since your last one.
It is
quite a while. What
yep.
what led to the delay?
A baby. And I did have my third baby shortly after that release. And money, really. You know, we are a growing family. They're not small anymore, but three children. And, you know, and I don't, maybe your listeners are, you know, their bank accounts are overflowing, but, you know, it costs a lot of money to do a project like this. So that was another reason why. But this one, I mean, I keep bringing it back to God, Robert, but it was really God timing. God said, this is the time. Now you are to go. And it just all fell into place.
Now, what separates this from some of the other CDs you've done?
Well, you know what? I'm pretty excited about this CD. Not that I was at the other ones, but I feel like I have been involved in every note, every bar of this CD. Nothing was sort of handed off to someone else and then just came back to me to sing to. I've worked with Brad Dugas at Revelation Sound, and he's just been fantastic in allowing me to be creative on this. And it was really Brad that pushed me to begin to write.
Mm-hmm.
I was very content, Robert, to sing other people's songs. I thought God had given other people those talents, and I would just sing them. And Brad really pushed me in a kind of a nice way to say, you know, I really think if you ask the Lord, he was relentless and kept saying, I really think if you ask the Lord, he will give you this gift. And he will help you to write a song. And I just kind of, you know, pushed, oh yeah, 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 pushed him off. And I was going to have a meeting with Brad, with my husband and I were going to have a meeting with Brad about my upcoming project and the possibility of him recording it. And he kept on me about writing. And so I knew that by the time we met with him again, I would have to have something for him, mm-hmm. something written, a song. And I'm just the kind of person that I didn't want to give him a piece of a song or just some lyrics. It had to be complete from beginning to end. So I put this pressure on myself, and I wrote Created for This, which became the title track. And again, it was, you know, God thing, because I wrote it, Robert, in between. I would, you know, be cooking supper and I'd stir a pot on the stove and then go to the piano and write a couple lines. Or then I'd go back into the kitchen and fill out a form for school for one of my kids. And then I'd go back to the piano and write a few lines. And God just so beautifully put this together. I mean, no one is more amazed than I am, mm-hmm. let me tell you, about this writing. So I just feel like this whole project has been, it's me. It's me on a CD, and it's really exciting. It's vulnerable,
yeah.
but it's exciting.
Now, what was it like when you first – I know what it was like when I first got a copy of my book and the hard copies, and they came in the mail, and also there's the book. What was it like for you when you sat there and you finally heard the completed track of Created for This?
You know what? It was so surreal to me because, I mean, over the last months, we've been putting it together and hearing bits and pieces of it, and then – yeah, you finally hear it. And I kind of looked at my husband and said, like, wow, like, how did that happen? You know, I tell you, there's no one more amazed than me. And it's a really, really neat experience to have birthed something creatively, completely from beginning to end,
mm-hmm.
and hear the final process, the product. Yeah.
And now, have you got the CD? Yeah, we're still about a week away from the launch. Have you got the CDs in hand yet?
No.
Oh, no.
So but I will have.
So I can't ask, what does it feel like to actually see the completed CD?
Yeah, I will have. I'm confident. Yeah. No, I don't have them in my hand yet.
So are you going through that? I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it.
Yeah. I am. It's like opening a present at Christmas, yeah. You know, and you can barely wait to unwrap that. But I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Well, we keep talking about the CD launch party.
Yeah.
Give us some details as to when and where that's taking
place.
Yeah,
absolutely. Saturday, November the 12th, that's 7:00. And I've chosen Koinonia Christian Fellowship out in Bloomingdale as the location. They really have a great venue in their foyer, and my kids take lessons at their Creative Arts Academy there, mm-hmm. and the foyer is just a great space, and that's the kind of atmosphere that I wanted for this. So everyone is invited. It's a free event. I'm not charging anything, but in the hopes that someone will pick up a CD, of course, the night of. Their cafe will be open, so people will come and sit around some tables, grab a coffee, and I'll sing a little bit. We'll fellowship and talk a little bit. I'll sing some more. It'll just be a really great night. I can't wait.
Now, where can people get information about this if they've forgotten by the time they decide sure. they want to go?
Like I would do, yes. I have just launched a website as well, and it's carriegousset.com. And they can go on that. All the information's on that. They'll also get a sneak peek of some of my new songs and my information about myself, some pictures of the recording process, and it's all on carriegousset.com.
Yeah, that's CarrieGusse.
That's right.
In case you don't know how to spell her
Thank
name.
Thank you.
If they're not able to make the launch, where are they going to be able to get copies of the CD?
Yeah, you can get copies right from me, so anywhere I'm singing, as well as through Bethany Evangelical Missionary Church, which is where I work at, and they will be also available at Gospel Lighthouse in Waterloo.
Great.
Or Wait. Online. Yeah. Sorry, I should say too. CD Baby or iTunes.
Okay. Quickly, what's next?
Huh. Well, let me breathe through this. listen, I'm just excited to get this project out and have people hear it and start actually singing these songs. But next, I mean, there's worship compilations in the talks. There's Christmas, more Christmas music. There is a Christmas song on my CD, by the way, because I did write a Christmas song last year. But Christmas music, the possibilities are endless.
Well, Carrie, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you so much, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. And thank you to my guest, Carrie Gusse. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's selawministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, selaw13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.